This is Jim Inkster. Pleased to have you with us for Talk Louisiana. Signature support comes from Brian Lowe Financial, and we wish all veterans the appropriate accolades today on Veterans Day, and those who served our country in times of war and in times of peace are great Americans, and they put their money where their mouth is and served our country, some in danger zones, and some, of course, gave their ultimate sacrifice in giving their lives. That's Memorial Day, but every veteran deserves plaudits today. And congratulations also to the LSU Football Tigers, 46-41 over Alabama, the first victory for LSU since the 2011 game of the century in Tuscaloosa. LSU defeating Nick Saban's Crimson Tide Saturday in a game for the ages, and LSU now is the favorite to win the national title. Joe Burrow is the overwhelming favorite to win the Heisman Trophy after throwing for 393 yards, and LSU will play at Ole Miss this Saturday, which is Election Day. And with us to talk about this election and others and the impact of evangelical voters, particularly white evangelicals, 85% of those in this country who identify themselves as white evangelical Protestants voted for Donald John Trump for president in the year of 2016. And polls show that that support has not eroded despite the president's personal issues with two divorces, an affair with a pornographic film star, paying her hush money to be quiet. None of that really matters because Donald Trump is appointing conservative judges and he is taking positions that evangelicals like. And I'm sure many of them like him personally. He's a charismatic guy. He was at Bryant-Denny Stadium on Saturday, and he will be in Louisiana this Thursday to campaign for Eddie Lee Risponi in his quest to unseat Governor John Bel Edwards. And those same white evangelical voters could end up supporting Eddie Risponi, most likely, and they might swing the election. Now, Gene Mills, based on his comments through the years and on this show, we know he leans right on politics, but I think he's a fair-minded person. And tomorrow we'll have somebody who leans left in General Russell Honoré, who probably would take issue with some of the stands by Reverend Mills. But good morning to you, Dr. Gene Mills.
Good morning, Jim. It's good to be with you, and I echo your sentiments toward our veterans and all those who've served in the field, as well as LSU and Coach O. Burrow demonstrated his bona fides. LSU has secured the SEC. Coach O has broken Nick's little heart.
Well, he's only 5'6", but he's a pretty big guy when it comes to football. And LSU, no doubt, of course, would have a lot more championships if Nick Saban had not left. But he did leave. He went to Miami, and then he came back to Tuscaloosa. And Saturday, unlike the reception that the president received at a World Series game in Washington a few weeks ago when they were yelling, "Lock him up," it was a love fest in Tuscaloosa. LSU fans generally love the president, and Alabama fans probably love him even more. And as you know, Gene, that is white evangelical territory, the great state of Alabama, and the president can do no wrong. Why is there such appearing to be unwavering support for him?
Oh, I think it's probably a couple of points of clarification. White evangelicals and black evangelicals have many of the similar belief systems. They just come to different conclusions when it comes to politics. And I think in large part, where you sit has a great impact on what you see. And some of my black evangelical friends see a very different history in America. They see government as being someone who's come alongside and provided assistance at times because of egregious practices. And I don't disagree with that. My white evangelical friends have a tendency to have a more jaundiced view of government. It has a tendency to view smaller, not larger, government as better. And I think with regard to Trump, it's not that he can do no wrong. It's that he's delivered on his promises. He said he would govern from the right. He said he would appoint conservative judges. And he said he would drain the swamp. And I think by all intents and purposes, if you consider the original choice that we had between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump, it was a clear choice in the beginning, and I think he's delivered on his promises throughout, and that's probably why he's enjoyed the strong support of white evangelicals in the Deep South particularly.
877-217-5757 is your number for Gene Mills. Talk at talklouisiana.org is our email. And as we have stated more than a few times, President Trump carried all 11 SEC states, 150 electoral votes, and this is his base. And he has now moved to the SEC officially as a resident of the great state of Florida, which was the closest call for him, the only close call in the SEC. He carried Florida by one percentage point over Hillary Clinton in 2016. Now, Saturday night, when we're counting votes in the Louisiana governor's election, I don't think anyone will be surprised if it's a one percentage point difference between the two candidates, and President Trump is trying to drum up support. Gene Mills, as an organization, I think you're prohibited from endorsing candidates, but certainly you have stated your preference, as you just did about President Trump over Hillary Clinton. Do you have a preference in this race?
Well, I call both men friends. John Bell is a friend that I've worked with on a number of policies to include criminal justice reform, amongst other things. Now, we've been vehement opponents on public policy issues, and I would call Eddie Rasponi a friend, someone who I know is a very different man than he's being presented publicly, and that's the difficult part of this process, is watching politics of personal destruction play in instead of a policy discussion or a presentation of what you believe or a vision.
Well, Eddie Rasponi has opted not to participate in a lot of events where he could detail his policy positions. You say he's being mischaracterized. How so?
Well, look, I recall when Vitter gave a comprehensive plan with a 50-point comprehensive vision of what he was going to do, and look how well that worked for him. I recall when Bobby Jindal gave a no new tax policy plan, and everybody hung Grover Norquist around his neck. So there's some specificity, or there's some clarity in not providing too much detail, and I think his policy advisors, which happen to not be from Louisiana, and I think that's been one of Eddie's difficult adjustments, that he's got outside counsel that's trying to help him to communicate a distinctively Louisiana message. And it's been a challenge for him to get that message to come through loud and clear. But I read where Senator Conrad Appel, upon hearing that same complaint, visited Edwards' website and found no details. And he published this in a blog just this past weekend. And I don't blame a lawmaker for not going deep into the policy weeds. It can be used against you in the future, and it can limit your ability to maneuver with the real playing field that you have going forward. And each of these men would be faced with a very different scenario were they elected, and I'm sure we're going to get a chance to dive into that.
Well, we know John Bell Edwards stands for issues like Medicaid expansion, increase in minimum wage, equal pay for men and women, and he wants laws to dictate that. Eddie Rasponi has indicated that he is against most government, and that's a position that, of course, is probably in the mainstream of Louisiana politics. Today, I read in The Advocate, the columnist Dan Fagan said pretty much to not vote for John Bell Edwards because he's a Democrat. Even though he is pro-life, we know that, pro-gun, he's a Democrat. Does that soil everything else, Gene Mills?
I think at a national level it does much more dramatically than it does at a state level. Certainly you can compare the policy platforms of the Democrats' national parties and what they stand for, and they are dramatically different. John Bell has really stood in a unique role highlighting his pro-life bona fides as well as his Second Amendment bona fides. But I think what we've lost in the discussion, and so for me, no, a D in Louisiana is very little distinction with regard to some of the policies that we follow. But if you want to know where we are on those issues, you can visit louisianavoterguide.org, and you'll see a lifetime voting record for John Bell Edwards. And it's not very favorable, even in light of the fact that he is pro-life and a pro-Second Amendment.
But you get into economic issues as well, and I don't see any problem with that, but some people would say, look, an organization that is depicted as a family-friendly organization should deal only with issues that are specific to, quote, the family. And I know your argument is that those other issues are specific to families as well. But when you, for example, on the minimum wage, how in the world is that an issue that the Family Forum really has standing to take one way or the other as far as a position?
Well, I'm an employer. I also employ young interns. I'm a father of 8 children. I've helped them gain their first employment, and I have expectations and a voice that can be expressed in this arena. But I think a better example might be the Stelly tax repeal, where charitable deductions were being removed, or the birth certificate bill that allowed a New York pair of homosexual men to adopt a Louisiana child and then force Louisiana to change its records law.
All right, hold tight. Gene Mills is revved up, and we're ready to talk. We'll go to the phone lines, 877-217-5757. Back in 90 seconds. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. 5 shopping days left in the race for governor between John Bel Edwards and Eddie Lee Rasponi. Based on the outcome in Kentucky last week, there are now 4 Southern governors who are Democrats if John Bel Edwards wins. 4. There was only 1 when Donald Trump took office, so even though the president is popular in the South, he has lost governorships, his party has, in Virginia, North Carolina, and Kentucky in the last few years. And, of course, Louisiana switched over in 2015, and that is the race. Democrat John Bel Edwards against Republican Eddie Rasponi Saturday. Let's go to Jeff in Spanish Town. You're on the air with President Gene Mills of the Family Forum. Jeff, good morning to you.
Good morning, gentlemen. I guess I got 2 comments about, one about the president and the other one about the governor. So I voted for Trump back in 16, but I will not vote for him again, purely because of the standpoint of the way I guess I was raised. You know, you look at all his payoffs to the women, and I know there's a lot of allegations that haven't been true, but we all know it did happen. And just the way he lies. I mean, I'm a 58-year-old man, and I did not raise my kids to lie out and out. And I find it hard to understand how the evangelicals can embrace a person like that. And so I'll let Mr. Gene reply to that. The other one about John Bel Edwards, especially today on this sacred day of Veterans Day, I'm sure Eddie Rasponi is a nice guy, but when he made a comment about John Bel Edwards' military record, and this is a guy that he could have done anything he wanted to, but he joined the military by choice. And I just find that amazing. I think that's kind of like the, I guess he got that from Trump or wherever, to where, you know, you can take all these great leaders we've had in the military that have served under Trump, all the generals and people, and all of a sudden, once he doesn't like them, he's like, they're not very good people.
All right. Thank you, Jeff. Appreciate your remarks. Would you respond, Gene Mills?
Yeah. As I understand it, Eddie was responding to a radio interview where 2 West Point graduates were referring to the fact that they were not proud what John Bel.
Well, one of them was a West Point student, not a graduate, Lane Grigsby. He was one of the West Point.
That would be the great Grigsby.
You like him, don't you?
He's a friend of mine. I work out with his son, Todd, and I told him the other day, I'll still talk to him.
Well, I don't know Lane Grigsby, but I hear he's a swell guy, and I believe it. And he's done a lot of charitable endeavors, as J.R. Ball of the Business Report pointed out. But
and Jim, I think it's fair to put context on that whole conversation. That was the context of the question that was asked in Eddie's comments.
Okay. 877-217-5757 for Gene Mills. Chuck and Scott. Chuck, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Yes, good morning. I have 2 questions. One, how much is the Constitutional Convention that Eddie Rasponi is proposing going to cost Louisiana taxpayers in dollars and in time wasted on that? And the second is, how can the Republicans say that they have no new taxes when Bobby Jindal cut funding to higher education by over 50%, which resulted in tuition increases that were equal to all the taxes and actually have kept people from going to college.
Are tuition increases, are they basically tax increases?
Look, I'm a private school parent, so I understand the concerns that parents have. I also have two kids in college. I understand that the fee structure and any number of factors play into the overall cost of an education, not the least of which is we're driving too many kids to our state institutions who perhaps ought to be at a technical college or considering alternatives to a four-year college degree. But look, I think the question regarding the Constitutional Convention is a legitimate one. It's very difficult to guarantee that you're going to have a limited convention. I understand that there is great earnest and energy to limit the Constitution, to bring about changes in what lawmakers can cut when it comes to budget appropriations and constitutional protections. And frankly, I empathize with the legislature and its inability to maneuver when there's a budget shortfall.
Rinaldi in North Baton Rouge. Hello, Rinaldi. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Oh, Jim, I'll be very, very brief. I consider myself to be an African-American evangelical Christian, but I think to my good friend's point, one of the things that African-Americans still cannot square and rectify are the points of racism, even coming from evangelical Christians and Southern Baptists who used to be part of the Klan and the White Citizens Council. And even white evangelicals refused to even listen to this. And this is why African-Americans vote their interest, and we are our brother's keeper.
Is what happened a half century ago relevant? I'm sure there were many people who have ancestors who did wrong. As Governor John Bel Edwards has noted, some of his ancestors, I think, were slave owners. But is that relevant to people who are in power today? And plus, some of these people, some of them were around a long time ago during segregation and didn't say a damn word about it. Should they help be held accountable?
I think it's very difficult to parse those details in a political campaign. I understand it does drive the conversation, and it certainly contextualizes this great American experiment in liberty. And I think it is relevant, and I think we're seeing changes made, albeit slow, but they are definitive changes that are occurring in our nation.
Hayden,
and I think it's positive.
Okay, thank you. Dr. Mills, who's with us, 877-217-5757. Lines are full at the moment, but when you hear somebody hang up, you call in. Hayden and Clinton. Hi, Hayden. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Good morning. Being the product of mandatory desegregation in Jackson, Mississippi in 1968, it's quite obvious to me that desegregation failed because whites just did not, they formed their own schools. So we never actually had desegregation in Mississippi schools. With that in mind, my question going back to the support for Trump is when I feel like he failed on his promise to make America great again. And my question is, what did you envision make America great again mean to you?
What does make America great mean to you, Gene Mills?
That means full employment, a historic GDP, historic black employment. And for John Bell, it's meant a wonderful Louisiana economy that while it performs at the bottom of the 50 states, it still is a Trump economy, unlike the one that Bobby Jindal inherited with the Obama economy.
Now, wait, the Obama economy was just fine. Trump economy hasn't caused the stock market to rise nearly as much on a percentage basis as it did under President Obama, who actually reduced the deficit. Now, the debt went up, but the deficit went down. We've got a $1 trillion deficit, Gene Mills. And this this is a president who promised to balance the budget. He promised to balance the budget.
And I think we need to do that. But you know what? It's good to know that we got real reporting that goes on when it comes to debunking Trump's facts. We just need to do that across the board.
Well, some of it is spin, and I can take spin, but when somebody says that Obama did a poor job with the economy, look at what that man inherited. Look at where we were when Obama took office compared to where we were when he left office. Trump inherited a much better situation. I think
And I agree. That's the context that I think you got to consider all these questions in. So contextualization is everything.
David in Atlanta. David, you're on with Gene Mills.
Good morning, gentlemen. Mr. Mills, a few minutes ago you said President Trump is draining the swamp. At least half of his cabinet members have been are former lobbyists. By no means that's draining the swamp. The president's daughter spoke at the Republican convention in Cleveland supporting a paid maternity bill, something the Democrats in the House passed and something the Republicans in the United States Senate voted down.
What about paid maternity? Is that a good idea?
Say that again?
A paid maternity bill. Is that a good idea?
In fact, Louisiana Family Forum's working on that conversation around the state starting in just a few weeks. So we're gonna host the pros and the cons and the context and see if that's not something we can find support for and a common ground.
All right. We'll spend a few more minutes with Gene Mills. You still have time to get in. 877-217-5757 is your number. Talk at talklouisiana.org is our email address, and we will return with Dr. Gene Mills of the Louisiana Family Forum after this pause for the news with Karen Henderson. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for being with us for Talk Louisiana. A few more minutes with Gene Mills, president of the Louisiana Family Forum, one of the most potent organizations in Louisiana politics, supporting family values and usually candidates right of center. But we heard Gene Mills say that he's not immune to supporting a Democrat, although it's apparent that in this race that comes Saturday, he sounds like he's a Rasponi guy. And tomorrow we'll have an Edwards guy on and General Russell Honore. 877-217-5757 is your number. And let's go to Doug on Corsi. Good morning, Doug. You're on Talk Louisiana with Gene Mills.
Good morning, gentlemen. You know, folks' memories are short. A lot of people forgot that Bobby Jindal's final budget, he signed into law $700 million in tax increases. And he had to do that even after all the cuts to education and health care that he had put through because the budget wasn't balancing. And even with that, John Bel Edwards inherited that $2 billion deficit we've heard about. So under every measure, Governor Edwards has been a success fiscally and in every other way for the state. Unfortunately, what he's done in helping low-income people is the reason that a lot of folks like your guest and Mr. Rasponi are opposing him so strongly. That was a cardinal sin. They think government's there to reward the rich and punish the poor, and they can dress it up any way they want. But if you can't look at Medicaid expansion and say that's been a good thing, just on the money side, not even saving lives, then you're just not looking at reality.
All right. Doug on Corsi making a variety of statements. Gene Mills, please respond.
Yeah, it's a reality that, and good morning, Doug. It's a reality that may not continue, and that's the context that we talked about a moment ago. But my apparent lack of support for John Bell has more to do with the fact that we've had 11 consecutive sessions under his leadership. If he's reelected, and many are purporting that that's the likelihood, the likely outcome, if early voting is any indication, he potentially is going to be faced with a supermajority in the House, a supermajority in the Senate, and in an independent leadership in both chambers. And we're going to be looking at this balanced budget question, budgeting questions all the way through. That's not going away. It's not going to necessarily be resolved because one of the candidates is elected over the other. The question is, how do we resolve it? As far as John Bell's absence of support with Louisiana Family Forum, it's because in a lifetime as a legislator, he scored a meagerly 52%. But it wasn't because he didn't take care of the poor. It's because he voted for things like the national popular vote, for sex surveys in the schools. Like
all right,
the one
what would be wrong with a national popular vote, Gene Mills?
It does away with non-population centers. And the way our founders
now,
did in
now
motion,
we have
our electoral college.
We have a state popular vote to determine who's governor. We don't go parish by parish. The presidency, Gene Mills, the presidency is the only race in America, the only election where the person who gets fewer votes can win. And it's happened twice in the last five elections. It may very well happen again. And it almost happened to George Bush, by the way, in 2004. So it's not just Democrats who could be impaired by this. It basically says a vote in a rural area is worth more than one in an urban area. And to me, that is un-American. That is un-American.
And I respect your opinion on that. I differ with it. I believe it's the reason. It's the how we maintain and the manner in which we used to appoint U.S. senators to represent us two per state. It gives balance and a voice where there's non-population centers. But John Bell's record doesn't stop there. It continues with surrogacy on demand. It continues with an anti-bullying bill that included LGBT language that was unnecessary and politicized the issue. It's got to do with his voting record, not his inability to take care of the poor.
Dan downtown. Dan, you're on the air with Reverend Gene Mills. Hi, Dan.
Hi. Reverend. Does Trump's cleaning up the swamp include nominating all these right-wingers for judgeships who are deemed unqualified by the ABA?
Dan
is saying some of these federal judges, and the president has appointed now a quarter of them, that some of them are rated low by the American Bar Association and are unqualified to serve. I would imagine you could go back to the Obama appointees, and some of them may have even been rated low by the ABA. But it does appear that the president is in a rush to get these positions filled, and he's doing a very good job of it. And that is probably I'm putting words in your mouth, and correct me if I'm wrong, probably the thing you like best about him is these conservative judges who are getting on federal courts.
And look, to contextualize this, I will tell you that, yes, the draining of the swamp, which is his words, not mine, he's pledged to do that. That's the taking out the garbage. Has he completed his job? I don't know, but I will tell you that he's done a pretty good job of taking on the Clinton cartel, the Republican cartel, the Democrat cartel, the media cartel, and he's still marching forward. And I think the one area that's got most people animated is the fact that the U.S. Supreme Court, the final arbiter in all of these disputes, which under previous administrations in 75% of the cases came down to a 5-4 opinion. And right now, that hangs in the balance. And I think that's what animates so many people today in understanding the future of America and what this nation looks like going forward.
All right, we've got a few more minutes with Gene Mills. Please be kind when you call, even if you disagree. In fact, disagreement is good, but being disagreeable is not. Charlotte in Iberia Parish. Charlotte, you're on the air with Reverend Mills. Good morning to you.
Good morning to you all. Is it disingenuous for people to claim that they don't benefit from government assistance, which makes the majority of home ownership possible through Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae by extending the repayment of the mortgage from the 7 years in the past to 30 years? Thank you.
I don't know if I can speak to that question. I have no knowledge of it.
Well, there are reports that Eddie Rasponi has said, he obviously believes we need to revisit our state constitution, but the homeowner's exemption, which is $75,000, that's a sacred cow in Louisiana, and he, to my knowledge, has not said that he is against.
Neither has he said he would remove it. I think that just becomes one of the fear factors that have been raised.
Well, if he is against it, he should say it. I don't think politically that's a winner to get rid of the homestead exemption. But
I think he's going to come to that conclusion as well. Okay. As governor, he probably would.
And Gene Mills, here's a gentleman, James. So you're on the air, James in Metairie. I know you've called Reverend Mills a few times before. James usually calls when he's revved up. Good morning, James. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Well, good morning, gentlemen. You know, speaking of cartels, Louisiana Family Forum, their radical political right-wing cartel, you know, one thing we can count on is every year Reverend Mills and Louisiana Family Forum are going to resist the repeal of Louisiana's anti-sodomy laws. What I want to know is there are now 18 states in the country that have adultery laws on the books, 6 that have kept fornication laws, including radical, in his view, I'm sure, Massachusetts. When is the Louisiana Family Forum going to try to initiate legislation making adultery a criminal or civil offense in the state of Louisiana? Thank you.
All right. He says adultery is a crime in Louisiana. I don't know if anybody has been arrested for adultery. Edwin Edwards once said that he was in favor of the Ten Commandments, but one of them might be a problem. I think we know which one. But to put any levity aside, there are some laws that are antiquated that should be taken off the books, and if adultery is against the law, then a lot of people would be in jail if it were prosecuted. What do you think?
I think it's probably true of public same-sex sodomy, too. But as we introduce sexual politics into the conversation and into boardrooms and into schoolhouses, and into City Hall and into every piece of legislation, we have a tendency to raise one political agenda above all the rest. And I have no problem with individuals being given the same rights, but when you're granted special rights, now you're moving into a territory where somebody's liberty could be encroached.
I would, based on your remark about public sex, there's some heterosexual activity going on in public as well. Patrick at Ennis-Wald Estates. Patrick, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Yeah, I just want to say, of course, the American Bar Association is against Donald Trump appointing conservative judges because the American Bar Association is made up of a bunch of liberal trial lawyers. And they are also overwhelmingly supporting John Bel Evers because they support lawsuit abuse, which has caused our insurance rates to go through the roof. You can see it on Facebook. Even trial lawyers that call themselves Republicans are supporting John Bel Evers because they know that's where their money comes from. So, you know, more. And then the other thing, you know, you're talking about rural areas getting more representation. We live in a republic, not a direct democracy. And that is why we have the Electoral College. So those people are not left out.
Not the book. The Electoral College was put in when we had a few states. We've got 50 now. And Patrick, the states of the Dakotas, the two of them combined have about 2 million people. They've got four U.S. senators. California has 40 million people and has two U.S. senators. We already have
South Dakota.
That. We already have that. We don't need the Electoral College to determine who the president of the United States is. This is all about politics. And I'll give you this. If twice in the last five elections it had been the other way around, the parties would be flipping on this issue. But just
No, I disagree. Everything is politically based.
And it all comes down to the fact that Albert Gore would have been the president based on the popular vote, and Hillary Clinton would have won a landslide in the popular vote based on the 2016 results. Donald Trump won sizably in the Electoral College, and there are some people who believe that he'll lose by even more in the vote and win the Electoral College in 2020 and remain president of the United States. Gene Mills, how do you see this election Saturday? Who's going to win it?
You know, it's going to be a razor-thin majority or minority that's going to make the deciding factor. I think the early vote portends to John Bel Edwards' favor. I think the fact that Eddie Rasponi has Donald Trump coming in on Thursday still puts it in a very competitive race. I will tell you this. Louisiana is a very durable state. It's made up of people who believe deeply, who pray earnestly, and who participate. And I will tell you, Jim, good government's not a birthright. It's the direct result of an informed citizenry. Communication and conversation like we've had this morning, that's not just vitriol. It's not the breaking of the legs. It's an actual conversation.
Well, Gene Mills, thank you for being a gentleman, as always, and we appreciate your time, and we'll be calling again soon. And we're back after this timeout.